Good morning. Wow, I'm very impressed with how many people are up and at this time in the morning. So, I'll see if we can get some interaction as we go through this. I have no relationships to disclose that are financial in nature. Okay, so I was going to describe leadership from an Indigenous perspective. This is coming from Northwest Alaska. I'll describe where the work that we've been doing is coming from and some of the ways in which we've been trying to build leadership from the ground up, which is also called capacity building. So I'll talk a little bit about that. Can I get a show of hands? Who's involved right now in some sort of capacity building in their professional life? Okay. So the region that I've been partnering with really since 1995 is Northwest Alaska. That was my first real social work job. And then I went to do a dissertation in collaboration with the tribe and really have been working there ever since. So we've got several different programs that are trying to build leadership within all of these communities and to build sort of collaborations across leadership teams, wellness teams in these villages. So I'll talk a little bit about that initiative. To give you some pretty pictures, that in the left upper corner is Kotzebue. That's our biggest hub town. So in order to go from any of the villages to Anchorage, which is kind of the way you would sort of go anywhere else outside of this region, you'd have to go through Kotzebue. And air flights are not cheap, $350, $500, depending on where you are. And there's no roads connecting any of these places. So a lot of times people have ideas about rurality. That's a hard word to say at 9 o'clock in the morning. But rural in Alaska looks a lot different from rural in the lower 48. And so just to give you some sense of. And as I'm bringing these issues up, it's important to think about what capacity building looks like, where people can sort of access and collaborate across villages when it's a little bit harder. There are some seats if you guys want to.
In the front here.
Okay. So a lot of this work has been done with Yvonne Peter, this particular work. And one of the things, and we've actually used this model for a lot of different things. Northwest Arctic Institute is what I'm going to talk to you about today. We've used this to develop recovery support leaders in the villages to focus on things like substance abuse recovery. We've have wellness teams. So we've used this model of trying to find people within the community that are interested in taking a leadership role, bringing them together to learn from each other, and I'll talk a little bit about the curriculum, and to grow a sense of not only solidarity with each other, but ideas about how to access resources, how to sort of feel like changes can be made and where they can go to get help if they need it as they go. So our goal is to increase village capacity to promote village wellness through community capacity building and locally driven initiatives. And so those locally driven initiatives look really different depending on the village. So each village is very distinct in their personalities and the people who are active. And so the kinds of things that people are interested in doing look really different across villages. So in this project, we wanted to be fairly wide open about who could participate. So we wanted to recruit people who were interested in being a part of health and well-being in their villages. We wanted to really make sure they were living a healthy lifestyle, and the way that we were defining that was alcohol and drug-free. And these are the, kind of the words that we use to try and recruit people, you know, caring, empathetic, good listeners, and communication skills, and consider themselves trustworthy and respectful. And some of these things are really, really important, particularly in small communities when histories go way back, even like family histories and how people relate to each other. There's lots of history in small communities that people remember. So how people have been standing in their lives, how people have been moving in their lives really matters if you're going to step up into leadership. So at this institute, we bring we bring people together, and this is run by Yvonne. We have other, Yvonne Peter. We have a lot of other indigenous leaders from the region that come and help facilitate. But one of the things that's really important is to really talk about how did we get where we are today, right? So what is the history for not only my people in general, Alaska Native, but what is the history of this place? How did settlement happen here at the time? And many of the villages were created around mission schools. There were different kinds of sort of people that staffed those. So what did this village at this time, sort of who was sort of leading that charge? And then the history of my family, and then my own personal history. So those are the different layers of sort of exploration that happen at these institutes. The other thing that's done at the institutes is really looking at sort of what values want to be brought forward. There's lots of exercises about intergenerational, not only trauma, but what do we want to bring forward and how do we want to carry the strength forward into the future, from the past into the future. We do sort of tools and skill building about community-based organizing, about, depends on the project. As I said, some are really focused on recovery support, some are focused on wellness in general, some are focused on youth. But we look at different tools, like motivational interviewing has been a useful thing. Talking circles has been a useful thing. So different kinds of tools that people have identified as things they can bring back to their communities and use. And then having a place to strategize and vision about what is it going to look like if I step into a new role in my community, how can I get support to do that? And that can't be understated how hard that is to do. As I said, people sort of have a lot of ideas about who people are and how they fit into the social fabric of communities, particularly small communities, with long histories. And so to step into a new role is an incredibly brave act. So we help people vision and strategize about what they need to be able to take that next step, which is really an important thing. And so this is from last summer. This is actually, we did the institute in Fairbanks. We found that if we actually do the institutes outside of the region, it's better for people to not be so distracted with all the other things that they're asked to do, all the other responsibilities that they have. We had done a couple institutes in the region, so in the hub town in Kotzebue. And we found that people still, like, had relatives that were, like, inviting them to do things, and there was just a lot of distraction. And so we found that in January we're going to do one in Anchorage, just because it helps to, and at a retreat center, so that people can really stay engaged in the process and really build relationships in a new way together. Okay, so I'm talking to you today about the evaluation. And in some ways, it's kind of a funny position to be asked by funders to do an evaluation, like, did it work and how did it work, and how to sort of walk into that in a respectful way when we're all learning together, right? So it's not really about, you know, you're doing the right thing, you're doing the wrong thing. I have a lot of things to say about, like, so what works in one setting with a set of relationships, with a set of situations, might not work that way in a different. So the idea of what works apart from context is a really tricky business, and I think should be looked at with some skepticism. And so I don't really view evaluation as that. I view it as a collaboration, and we talk about sort of how we can develop tools to sort of find out what people are getting out of things and how we can use that process to sort of further the goals that we all have. So I think of it as a lot more a collaborative process rather than a outside evaluator coming in. But we situate it differently depending on the funders. So that's just the reality of it. So in this case, I'm going to talk to you about pre and post interviews. I'm going to talk to you about that because I think it points out some things that maybe aren't looked at when we think about leadership development that I think might have relevance for other communities that are small and Indigenous, mostly. Okay. Okay, so We talked to people before and after they attended this retreat, and as I said, the retreat is about a week long. It's intensive. We actually integrated a lot of different things this time. We had someone who volunteered to do body work, which is an amazing thing if you think about the level of trauma that people often go through by the time they come to this place of wellness and this place of wanting to heal their communities. And so we had somebody that was doing body work. We had yoga in the morning. We had Tai Chi. We were just doing a lot of different things to sort of get people out of their comfort zone and really into a place of healing and a place of exploration. And, yeah, people seemed to really like that. And one of the things that getting out of what you normally do does is it really helped people identify capacities that they maybe didn't identify before or strengths that they hadn't actually gotten to exercise before. So that was pretty neat. And then we did come up with some ways to improve based on what we found. Okay, so Indigenous leadership development, back up three steps. And what does that mean? So this is a little schema that these are the things that have been written about, and some of these things can be grown, and some of these things sort of need to be there already. Does anybody have ideas about which of these things is growable? Any ideas? Oh, in the back. Walk the talk, absolutely. So that means if you're going to talk about healing in your community, these are small communities, everybody knows everybody else. If you're going to talk about healing, if you're going to talk about sobriety, if you're going to talk about wellness, if you're going to talk about taking care of our children, if you're going to talk about being sort of a respected whatever, you need to be that. You need to be living that. And if you're not living that, it's really hard to sort of have people want to step behind you in any way. So that's a really important thing. And so you have some people who are really wanting to but not quite making it, and that's a hard thing for programmers to figure out how to grapple with, to support the person and to support the program, because honestly, in small communities, if you're not walking the talk, it's very unlikely that you're going to be effective. Yeah. So an understanding of history and sort of how that's understood. So there's been a lot of research about historical trauma, and there's different, and just to put it as bluntly as possible, so there's like two basic narratives around how to sort of understand and respond to that. So one is a narrative that's like, look at all these terrible things, we're losing our culture. There's that narrative, and research has shown that actually that's not super helpful. If that's the way that it's conceptualized and understood, there's another way that doesn't ignore any of the horrible things that happen there, but the narrative of survivorship and of strength in response to, that is very helpful as far as wellness goes, and it maps onto a lot of really positive health outcomes. And so how that's discussed and how people sort of carry that forward in their lives is really, really important. Anything else? So being clear on your own sort of self-care is another really important thing. I think most of these can actually be grown. The walk the talk thing, I think, is a little insurmountable if people aren't walking the talk. So it's really hard to sort of be actively involved in wellness, to be a leader in that cause, if you're not living a life that people consider well or healthy. Yeah.
With this walk the talk, you mentioned that they're drug and alcohol free when they come in. So many people have gone through some type of sobriety program. Do they tailor the sobriety program to their own cultural values and beliefs? For example, higher powers interpreted a different way than perhaps some AA groups might or some
It depends, right? It depends on the person. Is that what you mean, or?
Yeah.
I think if people are sort of in recovery, in active recovery, that's great. However they conceptualize it.
Okay, well, this is such a, I understand such a substance abuse issue, so having someone drug and alcohol free might
involve
some time of recovery.
Yeah, right. Or it might be abstinence. Because there's a lot of there's a lot more abstinence in the tribal communities that I work in, than you would think. And if you compare that sort of general American public, there's a lot more abstinence in general in those communities. Do you have something?
Yeah, I'm just interested in this design here. Is there a logic behind the seven different subjects and the arrows going clockwise, or
Yeah, that's a great question. So we sort of worked, we had some different ideas about how to sort of present the information. So these are all things that sort of tie in together. They don't tie in a particular order. So like you could put healing self in a different spot. So we meant them all to be important, but all moving kind of fluid things. They're all processes rather than end points. The different pieces are actually coming from literature about indigenous leadership and indigenous leadership development. These are all things that have been identified both in the literature and by our participants in this institute. Okay, so let's see, so I have 2 minutes? 1 minute. Okay, 1.5 minutes. So we found that people really felt like having a place, a retreat, to really immerse yourself in new ideas, explore your own strengths, explore your own history and your people's history and your community's history. People really liked those. So most of the people who came to this already had a helping role in their communities. They were already very engaged in helping people and sort of had that social role, which really helped them step into a more sort of directed leadership role. That was like 90% of the process, I think. So people really appreciated it and really felt like it was a place to sort of share their burdens, because a lot of them, as I said, are in helping roles in their villages, and there might not be so many in really small villages. And so to get together with other people that are sort of natural leaders was really helpful in sharing that burden. So people felt like they gained a lot of strength from it, eye-opening. And the historical, the way of conceptualizing history as important for somebody in the session I was at yesterday was talking about how the tale, oh, I won't get it right.
Ah,
you guys were there. Yeah. Yes. The history is a place to drive the future. So that I thought was a really nice way of sort of holding that historical narrative.
Can you wrap it up?
Yes, I will. So developing a community practice, really important, because the things that people had difficulty with was stepping into new roles when they got back home. So all of these people already had a whole host of responsibilities, and I think that's pretty typical in small communities that are sort of marginalized and so have a lot more challenges than other communities. So these people that were selected because they were already natural leaders already were holding a lot. So to do one more thing was a lot to ask, and I think we really need to think about how to support people with resources, with something, in addition to just training, because there's a lot more for them to hold. So many of them had trouble sort of taking on new jobs because they were already maxed out. And this is the thing about when we talk about capacity building from the ground up, this is something that I don't think we take enough consideration. Because whether they're getting paid for it or not, they've still got really full lives that they can't, a lot of those jobs they can't say no to. And so making more room for more things, that's a hard balance to make. And so are there ways that we could be thinking more creatively about sort of wellness work and social service monies to support all those other things that they've been holding in their lives along with this. So, okay, so I think I just told you that. And those are all the people that have been really helpful.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
You want to stay up here, Lisa?